And we move now from the movie house to the theater. Our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick, joins me in the studio. Hey, Judy, good to see you.
Good to be here.
So we're going to talk about Grey Gardens. It's a show that's at the Still Point Theater here in Baltimore. We all know, of course, about a bunch of musicals. This is a musical, and it's many of them have been adapted from movies. We think about like The Producers, The Lion King, Hairspray. But this one, it's interesting. It's unusual because it's been actually adapted from a documentary.
Yes, yes. I have to start out by saying, Tom, that I'm very excited to be talking to you about Still Point's production, which is a really inventive production. And yes, documentaries are a very unusual source for musicals on the stage. I had trouble coming up with others. There was a musical a few years ago made out of the movie Hands on a Hard Body. Didn't last long. But Grey Gardens is probably the best-known show in this sort of musical theater subgenre. It's based on the 1975 documentary by Albert and David Maisels by the same name. This is the team that made Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stones documentary. I have been a fan of the documentary since it came out, and I watched it again before I went to see the show on Broadway in 2007. And I have to admit, I could not imagine how they were going to make a musical out of this.
It's about like hoarders or something.
Well,
right?
It's about an aunt and first cousin of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, and they were prominent socialites. They were named the Beals. By the time the documentary was made in the 70s, they were living in squalor in a 28-room mansion in East Hampton. It had become a ramshackled mess. It was overrun with cats and raccoons and trash. The documentary has a bit of a sort of train wreck allure. You can't look away. The Beals' living conditions are that bad.
So how did the people who did this thing make this, that subject, which is certainly quirky, work on a stage? I mean, how do you make this crazy house be the subject of a musical? That's funny.
Well, it's more the mother and daughter that are the subject, although the house in a way does seem like a character. It is quirky, but I like quirky. Still Point Theater's production is a truly inspired take on what I could only call a very idiosyncratic subject. They have done this really powerful, insightful production. The show's creators are a playwright named Doug Wright, composer Scott Frankel, and lyricist Michael Corey. And one reason that this is maybe not so far-fetched a source is that the mother and daughter, who are both named Edith Beal, they're called Big Edie and Little Edie, they're both frustrated performers, and they have big, larger-than-life personalities in a way. The documentary all takes place in the year that it was filmed in the 70s, and it just focuses on what has become of this mother and daughter. The musical's creators came up with a very smart idea of not only showing what they became, but showing where they came from. So the first act takes place in 1941. Little Edie is the toast of society. And the second act takes place in 1973, when they have become pariahs, eccentrics. And the juxtaposition adds context and it adds drama. And because they have really stopped moving forward back in 1941, the music has that sort of period feel in both acts. Here's an example.
Our tete-a-tetes.
Midnight duets.
Our breakfast tea.
Adam Cooley and Zoe Kantor in Grey Gardens at the Still Point Theater here in Baltimore. So, Judy, you saw the show on Broadway. Does Still Point try anything new or different with this production?
Yes, they do. And that's really what makes this such an inspired production, in addition to having a pretty strong cast. They have done two major reinterpretations. The first is that they're presenting the show in two different buildings. One is their permanent home, which is at 1825 North Charles Street. But they have also just moved into the building next door, 1823, which was the Mercury Theater. So what they've done is they do the first act that's set in the 40s in 1825 North Charles Street. And then the audience moves next door to 1823 North Charles Street for the second act, which is set in the 70s. The sets are by Ryan Haas, who also co-directed the show with Danielle Robinette. The first act is done.
Well, that's
up...
one way of getting out of a set change.
That's
just
right.
Have two different
yes,
buildings.
Yes, yes.
Pretty good.
Absolutely. And they're very different because the first space is this fancy parlor. It has an upright piano. It has pink walls with artificial flowers glued on them like three-dimensional wallpaper. There's a fancy frame portrait of Big Edie. And then after intermission, when you go next door, there are clothes dropped all over the place. There are crumpled newspapers on the floor. The centerpiece of the set is a bed that's on broken legs. There are some remnants from the first act. The flowers on the wall are now wilted and the paper lanterns are torn. The place feels like it could give you fleas. And in fact, the Beale's neighbor, who is kind of a handyman, Jerry, wears flea collars on his boots. And I understand the Maisels brothers did this when they made the movie. But there's a second really cool original piece of inspiration, and that is puppetry. They've added puppetry to the second act. The puppets are designed by Michael Paradiso, and they are puppets of the cats that have taken over the house and the raccoons, and they haunt the set, and they occasionally sing backup. These are not cute little stuffed animal puppets. They are raggedy-looking. They're scratching and chewing themselves. But the supporting cast manipulates these puppets with just enough of an endearing sense that you can understand what Big and Little Edie, what leads them to sort of feel some affection for them. I have to tell you, there's a song in the second act that's sung from a cat's eye view, and it describes the house as, quote, a 28-room litter box.
There you go. So I guess obviously a show like this with these two main characters being women depends on how good those two women act the show. So what do you think? How do the actors at Still Point measure up?
Well, it's slightly mixed. The two Edies are played by three actors. They also were on Broadway, but it's divided up a little differently at Still Point. Zoe Kantor, who plays the mother in the first act, is mainly this vain woman. She always has to be in the spotlight. She's overly dramatic, and so Zoe Kantor's singing is also sort of operatic. In the second act, Danielle Robinette plays the mother, and she plays her really as kind of a gorgon, particularly because she wears disfiguring makeup. I'm not sure why. The mother didn't look like that in the movie. But 30 years later, Kantor plays her as still self-centered and controlling her daughter. Christine DeMuth is very, very effective. She plays Little Edie in both acts, in her 20s in the first act, 56 years old in the second, and she pulls that off. She has a strong singing voice, and she's eccentric, and DeMuth just seems to sort of revel in that. And she also conveys Little Edie's love-hate relationship with her mother very well. Her second act portrayal of Little Edie is so close to the documentary, I suspect she studied it. And I brought you a song from late in the second act when she sings about feeling trapped in this huge mansion.
A pink paper lantern still twinkle in place. My young Navy hero, his tender embrace, that sapphire.
Christine DeMuth in Another Winter in a Summer Town from Still Point Theater's production of Grey Gardens. So, Judy, what do you think? These guys have a reputation of doing some interesting stuff. How's this production stack up?
Oh, this is a smart, gutsy production. It's already been extended. Tom, this is really high on my list of theater recommendations.
All right. Grey Gardens is at the Still Point Theater in Baltimore until the 12th of February. It was recently extended, by the way. We've got a link to details about showtimes, etc., on our website, wipr.org/midday. So where are we going next week, Judy?
Next week, we're going to Single Carrot Theater to see the area premiere of Samsara.
Samsara. We look forward to that. Well, thank you, Judy. Appreciate it. As you do, you join us every Thursday here on Midday. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Tom.
Lunch for our guests today on Thursdays is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each day listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. So that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow on Midday, the senior senator from Maryland, Ben Cardin, will spend the hour with me here in Studio A. Hope you can join us as well. Senator Cardin will take my questions and your comments and questions tomorrow right here on Midday. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for your calls and tweets and emails. And thank you for subscribing to the Midday podcast. We appreciate it. I look forward to being with you and Senator Cardin tomorrow. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.